The Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. I'm Graham. He's Sean.
Hey.
And Andrew's taking a break for a couple weeks here, so it's just us this week, and first things first, we have a new site here. I don't know what you guys think. We've been working on it for a few months, and we were hoping to launch it before E3, but it didn't work out, but here it is now, and I'm sure there are going to be a lot of headaches. But hopefully it works out well. Sean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on the new design.
I am very excited to see how well it works out and see what our readers think of it, because it looks very slick compared to what our last one looked like.
Yeah, well, we've definitely streamlined some things. Hopefully everything's still easy to find and things like that. But what's important is that our content changes over the years. We've been going at this for, 9 years now. And, you know, we just don't do the same things that we've done, you know, 9 years ago, 6 years ago, 3 years ago. So this redesign changes some things. We've done a lot more features, focusing a lot more on original content. And I think it's done well for us, but we needed a site that showcases that, and I think this one does, of course. It's really up to you guys, so let us know what you think. Comments really own any post.
We also made commenting much easier.
Yes, you know, if you haven't done that before, we've tried to make it really easy. We've implemented a whole bunch of different ways you can comment. You don't need an account. We like that you have one, but you don't need one, and we've stopped tying it to the forum, so it makes it a lot easier for us to let you just comment without an account or comment through Facebook or whatever it is you'd like to do. Hopefully everything's nice and painless. But yeah, so we've been spending a lot of time and effort on that, and now we can kind of get that off our plate and get back to giving you as much content as humanly possible, and we're going to keep trying.
Yeah, we should definitely have plenty of content for them over the next month or so.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Sean and I went to E3 this year. That was nice. I had to cover the last couple years by myself, and that is not a show you can cover with one person.
No, not at all.
It's not a show you can cover with two people. It's not a show you can cover with 17 people, but we tried our best. And so we have a lot of hands-on views. And a lot, I mean, lots of galleries, lots of news. We have a lot of stuff, and it just takes us typing it up. So over the next couple weeks, we're gonna get all that to you. First things we've gotten up already are got some looks at Mass Effect, which was, well, I mean, I guess you could have read it. It's great, And also Puzzle Agent 2, we got a really good look at, and that one's coming out before the end of the month, and go check it out, but it's simple to say, we think you should get it.
Yes, definitely get it.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of thoughts on E3, and we're going to go through them a little bit by little bit, but first let's take a break. See you in a little bit.
Listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Find us on the web at snackbar-games.com.
talking E3. We saw way too many things to talk about in one podcast, but we're just going to try to get to what we were most impressed with here. First, since it's the easiest, let's talk about, you know, Microsoft and the 360. We admittedly didn't see as much with them, but I guess that makes sense. They're supporting one system, and Nintendo and Sony are trying to, you know, support three or four at this point. But clearly their focus is on the Kinect.
Clearly.
I mean, we saw the sequels we thought we were going to see. We saw Dance Central 2, Kinect Sports 2. And, you know, that was basically what we expected. We saw a little more from the projects that were already announced. Once Upon a Monster, the Kinect Star Wars is finally a product. But there were a few surprises.
Yes. The Rise of Nations actually looks like, or Rise of Nightmares, rather, looks like it could be a decent hardcore title for the Kinect. And the Dance Central 2 definitely looks like it will be a better party game than the first one was.
Well, certainly it helps that you can have two people dancing at the same time. I know a lot of people's issue with the original Dance Central, me included, is that it was a party game, but only one person could dance at a time, so everyone just kind of stood around looking at the dancing, which puts a lot of pressure on that one person to not look incredibly awkward.
Though it is fun watching that person look incredibly awkward.
Yes, it's fun for everyone but the person. And you can still have fun watching two people dance incredibly awkwardly.
Yes, that might multiply the fun.
Yeah. And that looked impressive, and there were a couple surprises, like Fable the Journey, which not entirely sure where they were going with that, but...
Yeah, it's hard to tell from just what we saw at E3 what exactly they're wanting to do with that.
Yeah, it seems like with a lot of the new experiences where they're trying to get out of the obvious exercise dance game thing, most of the experiences are on rails, you know. Fable the Journey certainly is.
Yes.
Kinect Star Wars certainly is. It's an adventure game, but not really, because you don't really choose what you're doing, and I'm wondering if that's really going to hold up as an actual game.
It won't to me right now, but it doesn't to me right now, but they could surprise us. You never know. The one thing that impressed me most with Rise of Nightmares is that it's not an on-rails game. You have to actually make yourself go forward and backwards and turn and everything. And it seemed to do that fairly well.
Yeah. Well, while we're still on the topic of Kinect, it's interesting to see this Kinect functionality in games that aren't completely Kinect-dependent. I mean, Ghost Recon had some strange gunsmith things. If you can use actual motion controls to shoot in the real game, that could be interesting, but it looked like a separate little gun testing mode.
Yeah, it did. Mass Effect
was interesting.
Yes. Mass Effect is a Kinect tie-in that I would probably actually use. That I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could see myself using the squad tactics. You know, ordering people here or there, just because that's one thing that I can be focusing on doing what I'm doing, you know. Controlling my character, and that adds it sort of adds a button in a way. You know, you can kind of get that off of your hands, and as long as you're coordinated and can do both at the same time, then it really allows you to control more.
Plus,
now with the dialogue options, I'm a little less enamored.
Yes.
If only you could see the option. And then they would respond, but what happens is you say the option, and then Shepard says a different version of the option, which seems like it would be a little strange after a while. Though I definitely could see myself using it, say, eating a sandwich. You know, there's that clear time when you're playing games all day, hours. There's that time where you need to eat a sandwich, and you need to sit that controller down and eat a sandwich. You know, maybe I eat a bite and then I say the thing instead of picking it up and pressing the stick over and hitting the button. I don't know. It's a very limited functionality, and it's probably not worth the time, but probably use it.
Probably. I'd probably use it a few times with some random actions to see how well it picks it up, too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Kinect, a large focus of what Microsoft's doing, but it wasn't all of it. And in fact, the game we were most impressed with them was definitely Gears 3. We weren't surprised by anything. Horde mode's back, but that was almost a given. I mean, it wasn't in any of the beta or anything like that, so maybe there was still some doubt, but it seemed like that was coming. But it's just an impressive game. I'm not much for shooters, so, I mean, it may not be my favorite, but it's hard to deny that that game is going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, and it looks like it'll have just as good co-op as ever, which is definitely a big selling point for that title.
Yeah, I mean, I love co-op in all its forms. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But generally, I think we agree that the 360 exclusive lineup was a little weak this year. There was a lot of focus on Kinect and traditional 360 titles. We didn't see much. We saw a Halo C remake, which is fine.
And we saw a Halo 4 teaser, which
right.
is awesome. But
it's probably far off. Maybe holiday next year or something like that. I mean, certainly that's going to be big, and certainly Halo C is going to be big. But, you know, it's not impressive to me from an E3 standpoint.
You can't make a remake be the top game of the show, and that's what they tried to do.
Yeah. Well, we've definitely seen some come close, but... It just doesn't seem like it's going to have anything in the way of, you know, anything but updates, anything but graphical updates. Anyway, so that's Microsoft. Let's look at Sony's PS3 lineup. We'll get to the handhelds in a little bit, or the handheld, as we'll also get to. But PS3 exclusive games, it seems like a completely different story.
There's almost too many to name.
Yeah, and I mean, they did have some Move functionality stuff going on, but that stuff really was not very impressive. And also, it wasn't that numerous. A lot of their focus was on their big AAA titles, and I don't blame them. They have Resistance, they have Uncharted, they have Ratchet and Clank, they have Twisted Metal. What am I forgetting here? They have Starhawk, they have... Oh, gosh. Anyway, but either way, it's a packed year, and
that's just exclusives.
And that's just exclusives. I mean, Sony had an impressive conference. I know a lot of that stuff we've heard before, but it's everything's looking really polished. Everything's looking like something I want to buy.
Which is not good for our wallets at all.
Oh, painful wallets. In multiple ways. Not even going to talk about the $12 hamburgers.
Oh, no.
But, Sony's really doing some impressive things. And in some ways, I wasn't quite expecting. Going into the show, I was really hyped about Twisted Metal, and that may be the weakest in their lineup, just because it seems like they haven't evolved that much of the gameplay. I mean, it plays just like old Twisted Metal, if that's what you want, but... There really have been some gameplay evolutions in the past, you know, 9 or 10 years that it just doesn't really implement. It could have a lot more interface elements to make it easier to swap out weapons and control and shift to the left and right and things like that. I mean, they're doing some interesting things. They showed off a boss mode this year, and those seem fun, though not entirely Twisted Metal-like. But a lot of that's going to be the fun of playing with friends, playing in a team, seeing where that's going, and I'll leave that open. But we were really impressed, especially by Uncharted 3, which, surprise, Uncharted 3, our pick for PS3 game of the show.
Which was really a little tougher than you'd expect, just because of how amazing all of these PS3 exclusives looked.
Yeah, it certainly came into the show with the advantage, but it just looks amazing. There's not much in the way of gameplay innovations from the second one but it's just like another Indiana Jones movie. It's the fun is the story. It's not that the gameplay gets tiring. The gameplay isn't really much of the game at all. It's about the cinematic quality, and it's, you know, especially if you can manage to find a 3D TV, it's really going to be impressive.
Yes, it really looked good in 3D. And the cinematics, the story, the villain, all of it's
yeah.
What you expect from Uncharted, which is top of the line.
Yeah. And, I mean, what came really close is Ratchet and Clank All for One. Admittedly, I'm a sucker for co-op, but, I mean, if you've played any Ratchet and Clank games, you know they just have this
charm.
Polished. It's this polished charm. They don't do anything particularly well, and they don't do anything particularly innovative, but they put things together in such a great package, and this time you can play through that package with three of your friends, and that's great.
And of course, Quark is a win for anything.
Yeah, I'm still a bit strange to see Dr. Nefarious in there. And given the opportunity, I will always be Clank. But it's interesting to see, though, at least at this point, I mean, they have until October. They may change a few things, but probably not. At this point, each of the characters plays identically. I feel like that was a missed opportunity. But knowing, as I do, previous titles like this, like New Super Mario Bros. Wii, each character played the same, you know. Even though I wanted to be Blue Toad at all times, it didn't matter, really. You know, I could deal with being another character. And so if you play this in a party mode, then that could really be a benefit that the characters are all functionally identical. You don't get stuck with the bad character or something like that.
True.
Anyway, gosh, that was a pretty long discussion there, so we're going to break this up into a couple more pieces. When we come back, we're going to talk handhelds. Talk handhelds. First, let's get this out of the way. The PSP?
Dead.
No games. There were no games there. It's not quite dead, but certainly no one's making a push. Actually, that's not true. I saw one PSP at the show. It was at the Indiecade booth, and it was a great little indie game. But, yeah, that was the only showing of the PSP at E3 this year. Everything has gone Vita. And I don't blame them because the Vita is fairly impressive hardware.
Very impressive hardware.
And at that $249 price point, that's really impressive.
I was very shocked by that price.
It's basically a PS3 with a big screen and a whole bunch of touch pads in your pocket for what seems like cheaper than getting a PS3 and getting some games for it. It's a little strange. But hey, I'll take it.
It even appears to have better multiplayer.
Yes, which is great. It's got some interesting functionality. I don't think many people are going to touch 3G because of the whole AT&T deal. But it's got some interesting things. It's also got cross-platform multiplayer possible with the PS3, which we saw running Wipeout, and that was pretty cool.
And it ran pretty well on both systems.
Yeah. That's going to be great. But let's talk a little bit about the exclusive games. For the Vita.
So many games for it were there.
Yeah, I'll start talking about Little Deviants because it seems like the one to start with. It's got, you know, it shows off all the functionality of the system. It's fun in a launch window kind of way. It's a minigame collection. It kind of shows you what you can do with the system. It's a great thing to have around to maybe show off your new system to people who haven't seen it before. And it's charming. It doesn't seem like it would have that much replay value.
It seems tech demo-y in the same way that Wii Sports was a demo.
Or maybe less Wii Sports, more Wii Play. It feels very Wii Play.
Okay.
Which is fine. It's a very impressive system, and little things like that work better on a handheld than they do on a big system. The only thing is there are just a couple things that don't quite work so well. Like one of the games we tried out was showing off the front touchscreen and the back touchpad by having kind of a whack-a-mole kind of thing, except for doors would open on a house, and the deviants, the little things that you have to basically destroy through all these minigames, they would be facing to the front and the back. If they're facing on the front, you hit them in the touchscreen. If they're facing on the back, you use the back touchpad to hit them. And it is supposed to show off that functionality, but what it really showed off was how tough it is to really gauge where your finger happens to be on the back, and that could really be a problem. That said, every other implementation of the back touchpad I saw seemed to work really well. It was more use two fingers to stretch something larger and not really the position of where your finger happens to be. I don't think that's going to be something that works well. Whenever you see that in a game, I would avoid it. But, you know, otherwise, I mean, it's a nice, charming game. It could be very interesting to have around. Certainly, it's good if you're trying to, again, you know, show it off to, you know, family members around the holidays. Then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I think, is Uncharted. Now, Sean, you played that. Uncharted Golden Abyss, they're calling it. As I understand, it's a sort of side story to Uncharted, but what do you think?
It's actually more of a prequel. It takes place before the first Uncharted. It's basically Drake's first adventure on something Uncharted-ish, instead of just learning about history and archaeology and stuff. But it was pretty impressive. The graphics look at least as good as Uncharted 1 did, and that's pretty impressive this early in development, too. They don't know if it'll be a launch title, which means that they may have more development time than most of these titles we saw did. I was worried before I started playing it that using the touchscreen would get in the way of actually enjoying the game, because you have to put your fingers on the screen right in front of where all the action is happening.
Right. Seems like controlling Drake in the middle of the screen by putting your finger in the middle of the screen would be a little tough.
Yeah, but it really wasn't. I was surprised by that. For the most part, my finger moved in and out of being in front of the screen fast enough that, and accurately enough, that I didn't ever experience any issues with that. Now, to be fair, I didn't actually get in any gunfights or melee fights during the demo. So that it may be an issue during those times, but those times you can use the buttons. You don't have to pick a control scheme. You can use either one at any time.
Right, because it has the full slate of buttons, so you can just use it like a DualShock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said that the only time you're required to use the touchpad is every once in a while during a melee takedown. They may ask you to swipe the screen in a certain way.
That's doable.
That's doable. And the touchscreen for climbing the ledges and stuff worked very well. You can just drag your finger across the wall, and it'll figure out what ledges it needs to grab to get to where you ultimately want him to go.
Well, I mean, that sounds like it could work. Those two seem like the main focus of Sony with the Vita. Of course, we are getting a new Little Big Planet, which seems very much like the PS3 Little Big Planet, and a new Mod Nation Racers, which is exactly the same as the PS3 Mod Nation Racers. I did ask them, I was hoping, you know, with a game like that, you really just need a couple more mechanics. And they're not going to add any mechanics. You have touch-based controls for making the races, but the races themselves are still going to be, you know, you can have jumps, you can have speed boosts, and you can have item boxes, and that's about it. No new items, no new sort of customization there, no new environments or anything. At least at this point.
I do know that there was one game you were excited to play was Sound Shapes.
Yes, well, I was going to get there. Okay. The Vita is really it has a lot of interesting things, but it also seems like an opportunity for some smaller developers to really try new things. And I played two games that really are just kind of out there in ways that don't necessarily have to be on the Vita, but they're going to be on the Vita because that's where they could get some support for something innovative right now. One was Gravity, which is an interesting action game, but you can essentially turn the gravity on and off, and when you turn it on, it will center at whatever you happen to be pointing to with the system, but it uses motion control, so you actually, like, tilt around and point at, like, I want the side of this building to be the center of gravity, and then you turn it on, and then you fall there, and you have to, I mean, it's fairly simple action game right now with just kind of kicking and you know, like, having some interesting gravity manipulation things there. They really haven't fleshed it out to something crazy yet, but...
Sounds like it could be disorienting like Portal is at first.
Right, well, it definitely had a little bit of Portal to it. There's actually a game that I'll get to in a little bit that's a lot more like Portal that I saw this year, but it's an interesting way to shake up your standard run around, hit enemies game. And that could be very interesting. The other one was Sound Shapes, which is from the guys who did Everyday Shooter. They've made this game where you create levels, and you put items on levels, and then you collect the items, and every item you collect starts playing a note, and it kind of creates a little song of sorts, a little bit of rhythm. So it's this combination music creation, level creation tool.
Like, similar to Electroplankton?
It's not exactly Electroplankton. It has that same sort of create a small rhythm thing to it. But then there's like an actual platformer where you can, you know, you have to collect all the dots on the screen by, you know, you're like this, octopus kind of thing. You kind of suction onto surfaces, and you roll and you jump, and then, you know, you use that to get to things. But there are hazards you can put there. You have to make jumps. You have to get over spikes. It's a very simple thing in that way, but the fun way you play it is you can create these levels where paying attention to the rhythm actually helps you play the levels. And it will be interesting with user creation and sharing levels with others and things like that. It really could have a lot of life to it. I played it, and it's fairly simple to make a nice little rhythm. I tried a little too hard with the keytar. Apparently I was the first person to jump straight to the keytar, but how can you not jump straight to the keytar?
One thing I would skip to first is an accordion.
Yeah, I believe I saw an accordion in there, but yeah, each when you can create a level, and it's really easy to create a level. You use the front screen to place objects, and then when you have an object, you can tap to select it, and then use the back to kind of stretch it larger, smaller, or move it around, or things like that, and you create those surfaces, and you tap the dots and put them in place. And I don't know. It seems very simple, but it seems very simple in a great way, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. I certainly want to play some more Vita games, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about that. But, yeah, that was basically what we saw this year.
It definitely has my attention in a way that the PSP never did.
Yeah, which is interesting because it seems like, you know, the PSP again, but it seems maybe this time with, you know, the price and some interesting indie titles, it could get the traction that it needs, at least in the enthusiast sector, to kind of work its way from there. Let's move on to Nintendo's handhelds. The DS, not as dead as the PSP. We definitely saw some stuff, both from third parties and from Nintendo itself. Though it didn't really pay any attention to it at the conference, they have Kirby Mass Attack, which is kind of a difficult game to describe, but it's almost Canvas Curse meets Lemmings, almost. You have I mean, it's a little bit like Pikmin, in fact, 2D Pikmin. You have all these Kirbys, and you kind of shoot them at obstacles to take them out, and yeah, you're, it's a four side-scrolling, you know, like those levels in Super Mario 3 and things like that, where it just keeps going. You have to keep finding your way through by controlling this group of Kirbys all with a stylus. That's interesting. We also saw Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2, which I played enough to know that it's Dragon Quest Monsters Joker again, and that's basically all you need to know. There's going to be a new Layton, though we didn't get our hands on that one. And there were a few more, but it, Super Fossil Fighters is apparently also coming, because everybody wanted a new Fossil Fighters.
I'm still kind of
wondering.
Everyone that didn't want Layton at least wanted it.
Sure, yeah. Fossil Fighters. Clearly, we needed that. You know, I'm glad to see them keep trying. But the DS is not quite dead. I mean, Nintendo itself announced a DSiWare for Swords. Admittedly, that's probably just to let the DSi people in with the 3DS people for that. But it's interesting to see. Certainly, with the eShop, and we should talk about this next time or something, the eShop has really brought in a lot more people that can access those DSiWare games. And some of them are really good, and they should give them a look. But yeah, so the DS, not quite dead. 3DS, not quite dead either, despite sales reports. We're getting a new Mario, which is a full-fledged, it's not a port, it's not, you know, modified version of Galaxy or Sunshine or something like that. It's very original. It seems very N64-like. Not the worlds like Galaxy, but definitely, you know, 64 scale levels. We're getting Luigi's Mansion 2 from Next Level Games. That's the Punch-Out guys. We're getting that, and that looked interesting, if maybe a little gimmicky. You have to control the light by tilting the system, which I think
means, of course, you can't use the 3D.
I was going to say, we've talked about the 3D and the tilt sensor at the same time, and you're going to have to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
I think we both were most impressed by Mario Kart 3D, and we can't really say why. You know, it's just Mario Kart again, but... I mean, it's got a glider and like underwater areas. What'd you think of that?
I like the glider. The underwater areas, they're good for variety on the courses, but it feels just the same as actually driving on land.
Yeah.
But the gliders, you can try to cut corners on areas, and
yeah,
if you don't make it, you're in trouble. If you do, you get a boost compared to where you were before.
Yeah, what I was most interested by was, in the demo, you know, you had a glider, but there was clearly, in cart selection, you can choose a cart, you can choose wheels, which seem to affect weight and turning, and then you choose a third thing, everyone was stuck on the glider. Having the glider be, like, an option of something you could pick, like you could choose to be better at gliding, or you could choose to, I don't know, make it better around corners, boost a little better, or something like that. Having that option makes interesting... it's an interesting choice for racing with friends and things like that. It reminds me of, and I know everyone hates this game, Kirby Air Ride for the GameCube, where you would choose to have, you know, like a standard star or a winged star that was better at gliding, or, you know, a rocket star, which was better at boosting if you boosted, but not as fast otherwise. I like that dynamic, and bringing just a little bit of that into Mario Kart could go really, really well. So... I mean, I guess I'm the only one that likes Kirby Air Rides. That's how that goes.
I never got to play it, so I don't know if I liked it or not.
I may have to introduce that to you at some point. But we also got hands-on on Kid Icarus multiplayer, and I've heard mixed reports from others about it. We generally enjoyed it.
Yeah, once I figured out how to actually shoot and control it.
Yeah. I mean, the controls are a little simple. It's not a deep multiplayer game by any means. But it feels very balanced. You know, your weak player becomes the VIP that everyone protects, but that seems to work out pretty well because that's the person who's least able to protect themselves. I mean, it could be, you know, that you get the wrong people on one side and it's an unbalanced fight. But it's an interesting little diversion that can make buying that game more interesting than just getting that single player mode, which may not be very long and may not have that much replay value.
Yeah, I think a big thing in how good it is going to be how easy it is to play with people you don't necessarily know.
Yeah. And we'll see. But the 3DS lineup really had some impressive stuff. We also played Star Fox. Star Fox was good, but it was Star Fox.
It is Star Fox 64 all over again, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
Although people wanting a new one will be disappointed.
Right. But, I mean, the multiplayer wasn't bad. It could be fun online, but we'll just have to see how that's implemented. You know, the face functionality was just a little strange.
Yes.
Because they downscaled even the 3DS's pretty paltry camera. And it just looked kind of weird. But, I mean, it adds a little bit of character to a game that would otherwise seem stale and 15 years old. So maybe that'll work out. Anyway. You know. So that's how the handhelds went. Now let's, before we go any further, let's talk about the Wii and the Wii U. Now, the Wii U clearly not coming out until next year. I'm thinking probably late next year, at least in the United States. It did not seem ready.
No, it looked like they announced it purely and showed it purely to prevent someone else from doing it first.
Right, and also kind of to appease stockholders who are kind of mad at the share price going down. Though they did make the announcement and their stock fell 5%, so maybe that didn't quite work out.
I think it was the name.
I think it was that it wasn't releasing this year. They could have surprised people, and I think a few were holding out hope. The Wii U, I mean, I'm getting over the name simply because I've gotten over the previous names.
Yeah.
But I'm going to basically not talk about that system until we see something that's a real product for it. Though we did get our hands on the controller, and it's weird that something's, you know, comfy. It is. It's a comfy controller. It doesn't seem like it would be, but it's fine to hold. But beyond that, I'm not going to say much about those games because they're not games yet.
No. I mean, it's impressive the stuff that they say will come out on it, but I'll wait till we actually see it running on it.
Yeah, that's fair. But we did check out some Wii games, which I thought we weren't going to see very much from the Wii this year.
Surprise.
Except for I did think we would see The Last Story in Xenoblade. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Hopefully we'll hear something before the system dies. But
now, regarding The Last Story, I did find online that apparently just before E3, Nintendo announced that it will be Japan exclusive at the moment. They said there will not be a worldwide release for it, but there may be an English release for it. They haven't decided that yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they announced that until they announced that it will come. So, you know, it's not...
Yeah.
I'm not too shaken up, but I'd like to play that game.
Until they change their mind.
Yep. But we did play some interesting Wii games. Itadaki Street, which they're calling Fortune Street in the United States. We're getting Itadaki Street, which is interesting because it's a party game that's basically Monopoly. It's not a mini game collection thing. It's in very literal sense a board game.
But it was fun.
Yeah, it's a fun game, and you know, glad to see it. People who don't know about Fortune Street, it's Mario and Square Enix characters at the same time, basically playing Monopoly. Buying
Which
up
means, of
places,
course, that the slime rules.
The slime does not rule. Slime is slimy and not... I mean, if it were a metal slime, we could talk. But it's not. It's a regular, standard blue slime. Yeah, we had a little fun playing that against each other. I have to say that. But,
yeah, I did.
You know, it's a fun experience, but it's certainly not something we're waiting for with bated breath. On the other hand... We also played Rhythm Heaven, and we played Kirby, and those are great.
Those are exactly what the Wii need right now if they're not getting Last Story and Xenoblade.
Yeah. I mean, Rhythm Heaven is what, you know, if you've played the DS game, you've played a lot of the same type of thing that the Wii game is, but it's just more. I had a lot of fun with it. I found myself turning around to try to play with just the sound and generally doing better than if I were trying to look at it. But it's just a lot of fun to play. It's a very simple game, but it's just something about that game that's just a joy to experience. And Kirby is incredibly easy, and it doesn't have that visual flair that Epic Yarn has. It's a very standard Kirby, but it's basically a direct sequel to Kirby 64, and it has 4-player co-op.
Yay!
With, you know, characters that each have different abilities. Kirby is always player one, and only Kirby can go through doors. It's still a Kirby adventure, but you can play as Meta Knight and generally control, as he does in Smash Brothers, you know, flying around, hitting with the sword. Then there's DDD, which is, he's big and burly and has a hammer. And Waddle Dee, which kind of, I play a little as Waddle Dee. He does seem a little underpowered with his spear, but I don't know, there's something plucky about him.
King DDD was really fun to play as.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I would rather have seen Waddle Doo than a Waddle Dee, but, you know, I'm not that picky. Anyway, but the Wii actually has some interesting games. There's a Mario Party 9 coming, but that wasn't playable. And then there was Zelda. We could talk about Zelda. If you want to know about Zelda, you probably heard of Zelda. It plays a lot like Wii saw last year. It plays a lot like Zelda. Like, I can't, you know, can't contribute much to this discussion.
Good news is it will be coming out this year.
It will
come out this year. It will not be pushed to the Wii U.
Yes.
Like some people feared.
Big year for Zelda. But yeah, so that's where Nintendo systems are. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about PC games, downloadable games, and our overall game of the year. See ya. We're back, and we're going to finish up talking about PC, multi-platform, downloadable stuff, and it might be giving something away, but our favorite games of the show we haven't gotten to yet. First, we, you know, can talk about some downloadable stuff. Now, I was mostly impressed this year by little projects, by downloadable projects. Definitely some interesting stuff coming this summer or later this year. For XBLA, for PSN, PC downloadables, even some iPhone games were interesting this year. I was most impressed by Crimson Alliance. Now, I love loot-based games. You know, it really seems like there were a lot of those this year. But Crimson Alliance seems to have struck a balance between sort of the Gauntlet arcade-style gameplay and like the Dark Alliance really loot-based thing. They seem to have found a good balance with that, so it seems like it would be easy to pick up and play, but worth keeping on. That's coming this summer. That's going to be a lot of fun. Pixel Junk side-scroller, a little further out, but the Pixel Junk guys are always great. It has the same sort of aesthetic as Pixel Junk Shooter, but with this a little more kind of vector-inspired look, and that's really cool, too. It'd be interesting to see where they go after Pixel Junk Shooter with that one. Quarrel, which is coming out on iPhone first, but is supposed to hit XBLA and PSN later, is an interesting combination of Risk and Scrabble, basically. That's an interesting one too. You can check out all my write-ups on those. I'm generally excited by the kind of things coming down the pipe.
Of course, you can't forget Awesome Knots.
And Awesome Knots. Yeah. Okay. Awesome Knots. Awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. We can't not call it awesome. It's the developers are kind of describing it as a side-scrolling League of Legends. I don't know if that's exactly how I describe it. It's more of a rule set description than how the game actually plays. You definitely are. It is kind of a 3-on-3 arena battling thing. But to me, it plays a little more, I don't know, like a little more like a combination of like a Super Smash Brothers thing with actually Swords and Soldiers. Their previous game in RTS has a lot of that aesthetic going left and right, you know. But basically, you choose a character, and you try to defend these turrets and destroy the opponent's turrets and get to their base and take over that. Turrets are incredibly strong and really hard to take down. So as a result, you really need to work as a team with each of your characters, each with their own different abilities, which are upgradable during the match. Like, for example, there's a monkey with a jetpack.
A flying space monkey.
A flying space monkey with a jetpack, which is awesome. Yeah, like a big robot dude. He's good at punching.
And eating.
And eating. He can eat things. He's a robot that eats you. Also kind of awesome.
Yes.
And then you have like a cowboy dude. He's really good at shooting. He's like a sheriff type guy, like a Wild West sheriff type. He's pretty good. He's kind of awesome. And so each of them has their own thing. Like, you know, one has like a shield that heals anyone in it. That's basically the size of him and whoever's standing next to him. And then you have, you know, the guy who can get up really close to the turret and, you know, chomp the turret and heal himself. And you really need to kind of get all these together to stay alive. If you run up to a turret, you're going to die, and you're going to die quickly. But if you can team up, it's hard to kind of stay out of the range of the turrets. But if you can team up, then you can really take one down. But the thing is, it's only 3-on-3, and if you team up to take down one turret, there's probably one of your turrets on the other side of the map that you're not protecting. So it's an interesting balance, and I'll be interested to see. They haven't officially put a release window on it. They're saying Q3, but they kind of intimated to us that they were trying to hit September. And I definitely want to check that out.
And, yes.
We will have a lot more from Awesome Knots as we continue to type as fast as we humanly can. Downloadable games looking great, maybe even greater than the big titles this year, just because they're really innovating and they're trying some things. Later this summer, probably talk a little more about the stuff I saw at Indiecade. Skulls of the Shogun is a great turn-based strategy game. And there's a lot over there. For some reason, Dwarf Fortress is there again. It feels like it's there all the time, but I may be wrong. I may just be overloaded with Dwarf Fortress anyway. That's a good game, too. We'll talk about that later. But let's get back to our largest games. And our largest games are PC games or multi-platform games. And there are three in particular that really impressed us. You can probably guess what they are. Mass Effect 3, Skyrim, and The Old Republic. Now, you guys probably know us enough to know that we don't really like MMOs that much. It's just not something we do. We don't have anything against them, but it's not something we've been too enamored with in the past. But for some reason, we want to play The Old Republic.
Probably has something to do with awesomeness.
I think we've gotten past the awesomeness here.
True.
No, mostly, and we'll have to see how the full product turns out, is they've really framed this as a somewhat multiplayer Knights of the Old Republic game, which makes sense. It's the Old Republic after all. But they're really putting a focus on single-player story, having your own little missions, and other people can come with you and also do those things, and that's the part that's more MMO-based. But they're really focusing on this character progression, on your own affect your own story, almost Mass Effect-like, make decisions now that will affect things later, which makes for an interesting balance with an MMO, and we were really intrigued.
It's almost like two different games fused into one.
Yeah, which it could be a problem balancing those, and I'm still looking to see how much support it's going to get when it does release, but I think they're doing things right.
They're definitely doing things in a way that will make people who wouldn't necessarily consider an MMO consider it.
Yeah. Or us, anyway.
Us, at least.
Though I'm going to try out World of Tanks next week. We'll see how that goes in the next podcast. Okay, Mass Effect 3. Amazing game. Mass Effect 2 was amazing. This is Mass Effect 2 again, so it's amazing. I mean, there was nothing mind-blowing at E3, but then again, there was nothing mind-blowing at E3 with anyone, really. But, I mean, Mass Effect 3 looks to be a fun experience. I hope the story doesn't end in a stupid way. The most important thing about Mass Effect 3 is making sure to resolve all the things of the first two games really well, and that's a big task. But it looks like the, you know, moment-to-moment combat's fairly similar. What did you think?
I thought it looked very Mass Effect 2, except that it looked like it was on a grander scale and a little bit more epic.
Possibly. I mean, maybe. They're definitely using some more dramatic camera angles and things like that. But it just seems like you're probably just going to be doing the same combat. If you want to use the new melee functionality, that's something you can keep up with, I guess. Some enemies had directional shields, so they were trying to get you to flank the enemy and things like that. But
which will be hard to do without the Kinect, in my opinion.
Well, we'll see how that's implemented. But
we did get to see the first 15 minutes or 10 or 15 minutes of the game.
Right.
And it looks appropriately epic and emotional.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's the first 10 or 15 minutes. Clearly, there's something that went on before that. But it's definitely the first big action piece.
Yes.
We'll see how that turns out. We're all certainly going to buy it. It will definitely be one of our favorite games of 2012. I'm going to try to keep from being too hyped about it until at least, you know, October. We have a lot more that can come out before then.
Yeah, we might have to wait till December on that, considering how many things are coming out in November.
And speaking of November and things we're excited about, our game of the show, Skyrim.
Skyrim. So epic.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the Elder Scrolls series, and I'm not so much. And we both went in there, maybe not expecting to see too much that'll get us excited. You know, you pretty much knew what you were going to get, and I pretty much expected what I was going to get. They seem to have done the role-playing game right, and not just had a... It feels a lot less like Oblivion and a lot less like, you know, Fallout, kind of running on that engine. It feels like they're getting rid of a lot of, you know, the heads-up display and making things feel a lot more natural. You don't necessarily level up stats by picking stats and leveling them up, but, you know, you throw fireballs and you get better at throwing fireballs. You swing your sword, you get better at swinging your sword. It seems very natural, and you're not stuck to, like, a certain class or anything like that. So that really does seem like a nice way to get immersed in a world that's designed for you to get immersed in it. What'd you think as a fan of the series?
I thought it was great. I thought it looked like they combined the best parts of the Fallout leveling thing, the perks, with the best thing about the Oblivion thing, which is the more you do something, the better you get at it. And they fused those together without the class-based limitations of Oblivion.
Yeah.
Where you have
I did like how they got rid of a lot of the equipment system.
Yeah. You don't have to pick specific classes that then control whether you level up. You can level up everything, and they all contribute to you leveling up.
Right. And not just that, but, like, you know, I equip this staff and I can do this. I mean, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But mostly it's, I want this magic in this hand, and then the other hand, I can put a shield in that, I can put a sword in that, I can put more magic in that. And you can just kind of create your own class almost.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a guy who wields a mace and ice magic. There's no mace wielding ice magic class in any game that I'm aware of. But you can just be mace wielding ice guy.
And I like that you can, if you have the same magic in both hands, you can combine it for a more powerful spell.
Yeah.
I want to see if you can have different magics in your hands and combine them for a completely different spell.
That would be nice. Having played Magicka a lot, that definitely occurred to me. Like, why can't I just, I want this fire and, you know, lightning. So it will be a fireball that then shocks them. I hope they can do something like that. They don't have a lot of time between now and then. Maybe they just weren't showing that off to us. But it does seem like, you know, they've made it kind of a procedurally generated world, it seems. Like, the world itself is static, but the things that happen, you know, the enemies here, whether a dragon comes there, the quests you get, they seem very generated based on what you've done, which could make for way too many hours to play a game.
Yeah.
If in November we all of a sudden just stop posting anything, you know why, you know, call our families, explain it to them, why we disappeared off the face of the planet.
Yeah, it could take up way too many hours in November and December.
And January and February and March and April. Yes.
It could take a very long time to get anything.
Yeah. Game. So it's the final months of Snack Bar Games. Hope you guys enjoy it. We'll see how it goes. We're probably getting a little too hyped for that game, but we're a little too hyped for that game. We'll have a little fun with it.
That's what E3's for, getting too hyped over everything.
Yes, clearly. We'll have to see how it goes as these games actually release, and we'll let you know how they are. But until then, we'll just keep hyping ourselves up like crazy. Remember, new site, let us know how you like that. You can send your feedback to editors@snackbar-games.com or just leave a comment. You can also let us know about the podcast and what you think about that. That's going to be it for this episode. For Sean, I'm Graham. See you next time.